You're listening to Expand the Curve, and I'm your host, Olive Bassi. Here, we discuss plus-size representation in all industries, along with real-life experiences from everyday people. In order for change to occur, we must be the change. Let's contract the norms and expand the curve. Hi, everyone. I have a special guest here with me today. Her name is Catherine Scarborough. She is a well-known actress, creator, and writer. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I fell in love with your series of Big Girl. Like, absolutely a delight to watch. Aww. It's so refreshing to see what I've been experiencing on the big screen. And you make it
look. Yeah, well, thank you.
Of course, of course. I just wanted to, like, get everyone to know a little bit about yourself, if you'd like to give yourself an introduction.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much. That means way more than you know. I mean, the most meaningful part, really, of creating the web series has been women reaching out to me and telling me, oh my God, thank you so much. I recognize myself, or, you know, it meant so much to see a plus size character portrayed in a positive light. And so thank you. That means a whole lot. I am an actress and a writer. I live in New York City. I have been plus size my whole life. I mean, since I was like a kid, I started, you know, I was chubby starting probably at age 8. I came to the body positivity movement, real body justice, because body positivity, we don't use that anymore. It's been co-opted by skinny white women and, you know, and corporations. But
yeah.
Anyway, I came to it late. Probably, I would say my late 20s, early 30s is when I found it. After I graduated from my master's program, I got my MFA in acting.
Oh, okay.
At the New School for Drama, which in many ways was a wonderful experience, but, you know, going to an acting conservatory in a big body came with a host of, you know, things.
Yeah.
It was very loaded. You know, and I came out of acting school feeling very self-conscious, and, you know, you spend years having people look at you and judge you, and, you know, and it was kind of by chance. I was dress shopping and came across a plus size dress company that was using Tess Holliday as a model.
Oh, nice.
And she was called Tess Munster back then. And I found her Instagram. And so, funnily enough, my intro into body justice was through, like, fashion and, you know, Instagram modeling, of all things. But through her, I found the work of Jess Baker, and that was kind of my intro, and it absolutely changed me as a person, as an artist. I like to say that it saved my life. I mean, finding Lindy West, and it saved me as a human being, let alone an artist. I mean, it completely changed my viewpoint about myself, about how I wanted to live and walk through the world, and what kind of art I wanted to create. And alongside this, I discovered, because I trained as an actor, but I got an artist residency with this experimental theater company in the city called Mabu Minds, and discovered that I actually really liked writing for myself. And so I felt empowered to, you know, create my own work. And over the course of a few years and some plays that I wrote, and then taking some improv classes, I met my producers, and we sort of decided, okay, well, let's make something together. I knew I wanted to make something about body justice, or through the body positive lens. And that's how Big Girl sort of began, really.
Wow.
And I just wanted to write. I mean, Big Girl is a short web series. It's 5 short episodes. Every episode emulates a different film genre, because, you know, big girls can be leads in every genre, you know?
Yes.
We ended up filming it, and it's all stories from my life, but made more absurd and heightened. And yeah, I wanted it to reflect me and reflect a plus size character that isn't like sad and weighing themselves and going to Overeaters Anonymous meetings and, you know, loathing themselves. I wanted the conflict to be external rather than internal for the character.
Absolutely. I love that. I absolutely love that. I wanted to know more from your experience of making the Big Girl series. Did you experience any failures or any hiccups along the way that made you learn from this and grow from it stronger?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was my first foray into creating something on film, period, like ever. I mean, I'd been in some short films as an actor. And I have a great team. I'm working with a feminist production company called Brazen NYC. But, you know, when we first started talking about it, it was very like, yeah, let's just make a little web series before we make something bigger. Just we had absolutely no idea how big it would become or what a monster it was. You know, from day one, just the process of fundraising. We had a Seed and Spark campaign to fund the series. And, you know, we did very well, but it really, it took on this huge life that we didn't, I don't think we anticipated. The biggest challenge was just the actual, like, things that can happen day-to-day filming. So, for example, in the fourth episode, which is our rom-com episode, there's this big party scene. And just because of actors' schedules and our schedules and renting equipment and stuff, that day ended up being the hottest day of the summer in July of that year. I think it was, we filmed that in 2019. And oh, it was the hottest day of the year. And it was a party scene in a little room. So like 20, 30 people. And the AC broke in that room.
Oh, my God.
And I have never been so physically uncomfortable. I don't think in my life. It was so hot. It was horrible. It was absolutely, I mean, we probably should have rescheduled, but when you have a big shoot day like that and so many people's schedules are involved and they've all come out to Queens, we shot it in Queens, they've all come out to Queens, like, what are we supposed to do? And it was everybody was covered in sweat. Oh. Our makeup all came off. My hair, if you look at me in that scene, I'm wearing this yellow dress.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, I just cringe. My hair looks like an animal that died on top of my head. At least I feel like I have sweated all of my makeup off. They fixed a lot in post. Like,
yeah.
I am, if you notice in that scene, I am heavily, heavily filtered because we were all. So that was probably the toughest. No, not probably. That was definitely the toughest filming day.
Oh my God.
Just like the unexpected stuff that can come up like that in the course of filmmaking, really, it's a huge learning experience for sure. Or the most fun I had was filming the clown episode, probably.
Oh my God, that was my favorite one.
It's my favorite too. It was my favorite to film. It's my favorite to watch. And that one, just the practicalities of filming in New York City out on the street in public, you know, doing it, period, is always a little funny. You would think New Yorkers would be blasé and totally used to seeing crazy stuff. But if they see a camera, they all want to, oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But doing it in clown nose and, you know, I'm in that crazy tutu and I've got this bra over my clothes. It definitely took a really long time to get the takes we needed because people kept stopping and gawking or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So really just the little intricacies of filmmaking that I, you know, had never experienced before definitely were challenging, but I learned so much, you know.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that episode was honestly one of my favorites. I think the way you ended it too as well, of visiting like an actual plus size shop and even the little bits where like you were looking at sizing. That's how I feel anytime I go into a store. I was like, can it get any smaller?
The plus size shop at the end of that episode is a place in New York called Plus Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
It's one of my very favorite places. And that party that we filmed of all the plus babes, you know, all together, was maybe my favorite experience filming Big Girl. It was so fun. And it was such a great, I mean, it's similar, I think, to like the pool party in Shrill. Yes. You know? And it was just, you felt such a sense of community, and we were all like, all of us were actually together shopping. Like, we were having fun. We had mimosas and snacks, and Alexis, the wonderful owner of Plus Brooklyn, just opened her shop early and let us come in. And we were all just like girlfriends having a good time. It felt like a grand opening ceremony,
but like a celebration of just women together in their element. It was amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what we wanted to do. Yeah.
What is one common myth about your job that most people would never have thought is a myth?
Myth about my, you mean like being an actress?
Yeah, being an actress or a writer.
I mean, it's funny you ask me that, and it's so, you know, yes, my job is being an actress and a writer, but I still like have to have a survival job. I would, you know, I nanny to pay the bills, yeah. You know, to supplement my creative work. So I think probably people might think being an actress and writer is more glamorous than it actually is. It is hard.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I've certainly, and I love it, and it's a calling, and I couldn't possibly do anything else with my life.
Right.
But it is really hard work. It's a constant hustle.
Yeah.
You know, you constantly have to be, you know, a good friend of mine who's a mentor, and an actor and a producer has told me, you always work on whatever project you're in the middle of right now, and then do one thing for a future project. Oh. Like, you're always having to be looking ahead. I mean, Big Girl, we just had the last film festival for Big Girl like a week ago. And we did really well. We took home Best Web Series.
Yes,
from the Winter
I
Film
heard.
Awards, which was, yeah, it was really exciting.
Congratulations. But that's like,
oh, I love that. Thank you. That was so cute. And, you know, I'm very proud, but I'm experiencing like post-show blues where it's like, okay, what's the next thing? I mean, I have some things happening now. But you're always, always, as a creative, thinking, okay, what's next? Like, okay, yeah, great. We won all these awards. That's wonderful. What's next?
Yeah.
What's next? Because, you know, you want to be keeping yourself involved and active.
Yeah, you have to think of the short term and the long term all at the same time. And there's no true funnel vision for you. You're just on the go.
Yeah, which can be a little exhausting. Yeah. But, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
What is the most important lesson you've learned over your career, from even going into college for theater up until the Big Girl web series?
I would say it's being true to yourself and your work, protecting your work and protecting your artist. I think that this industry, I think training programs, you know, again, I'm very grateful for my training. I studied with some amazing teachers, and I think I had very, very good training. And I think that this industry can try to mold you into something that you're not, something that's more palatable, maybe, or something that is not you. And I think the most important thing that you can do as an artist is really quest to understand yourself and understand your own voice and what it is that you want to say, because there's nobody else like you, and everybody's story is important. And so, yeah, I would, learning when to say no and when to protect yourself, I think is very important as an actor and as an artist.
Yeah. Do you feel like if you, you know, I know you're going to be getting more and more roles and you're going to start creating more. Do you think that is going to be harder and harder to protect your identity when you have all of these roles, all these opportunities coming along? You feel like you have to belong to something when you can't keep being your own identity after a while?
Sure. I mean, certainly. I think, you know, I had a discussion with one of the festivals, the guy who ran one of the web festivals that we did really well in. And he was saying, you know, one of the blessings of doing indie film and a web series, it's kind of like the Wild West, and you're not beholden to a studio or a network or a service that is, you know, you're going to have a million executives that want to approve what it is that you're saying. And so, yeah, I think that it will be a challenge as my career goes and goes, because, you know, we were making Big Girl free agents and we could do whatever we want.
Yeah.
But as you move through the industry, I think that, you know, when you're being paid a lot of money by, you know, a studio or whatever, you're going to have to answer to executives. And so, yeah, I think that it will. But I'm heartened in seeing like female creators that have come out and have made some really, you know, Michaela Cole with I May Destroy You. My God, she's so brilliant. Yeah. And she seems like a woman who says what she wants to say, and nobody better tell her what to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Or Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Sharon Horgan, Aisling Bea, Roisin, all these UK badass female writers and actresses make their own work. And I find them very inspiring. So I'm hopeful that I can hang on to, you know, who I am and what I want to say.
Yeah, sure. Of course. Can you share a story you felt left out or misrepresented, either in the industry, in real life, any moment that you felt like you were unheard and unseen because of being plus size and being prejudiced?
Sure. Let me think. Let's see. I mean, this is going back a long time, but in high school, I can tell you a story from high school. I was young, too. I was a freshman in high school, so I was 14 years old. And my high school was putting on a production of Cabaret, which was pretty... Yeah, my theater teacher in high school, I have to say, she was instrumental in, I think, developing in me the courage to do this. She was a badass woman. She was pretty great. Took risks, let us be artists, you know. But anyway, so we're doing a production of Cabaret, and you know, I was a little chorus girl, and they had us wearing like lingerie. We're teenagers. They had us wearing lingerie on stage and stuff. And you know, I've always been plus sized, and I developed early, and I had a big old pair of boobies when I was, you know, 14 years old.
Yeah.
And there was a male teacher who was helping with the production, a male teacher. And we had gone through a run or something, and we were getting notes, and he goes... in front of everybody, in front of the whole cast, you know, people who, and I was young too. I was just my first year of high school. And he said, "Oh girl, second from the left, your boobs are showing too much," in front of everybody. And I was so humiliated, you know, and I couldn't help it that my boobs were showing too much.
Yeah.
And like, you guys dressed us in these little, you know, little outfits. Like, what do you expect? I got a big old pair of boobs. What do you, you know? And also, like, talk to me privately about it or come up with a solution that isn't.
Like, there were so many options that he could have directed this at you, and he chose to choose the most overt one. Yeah, like, no.
Yeah, and it just, it made me feel so self-conscious. I mean, any, you know, when you live in a bigger body, there is this, I think, tendency to want to maybe deny that your body is different than those around you, and not necessarily to be invisible, but like there's this, for me anyway, I don't know, in the past anyway, like a veil of no, I'm like everybody else. And so whenever somebody pointed it out in some way.
Yeah.
And you know, that happened in different ways all through my life. In grad school, there was a a stage combat professor that singled me out in class one time that absolutely, you know, humiliated me. It can just, yeah, being pointed out in that way, like, oh, you're different. Everybody look at the big girl who's different. You know, she's, it can be very damaging. Yeah. For sure.
And just to like piggyback off of that, you said in your 20s and 30s, you didn't realize about the whole body justice and plus size movement, stuff like that. What advice would you give to your younger self then?
Oh man, I just would want to give my younger self a big hug and tell her it was okay. Oh. And that, like, you're okay. Like, you're beautiful just as you are, and you're healthy. You take good care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just, I'd want to be very kind to my, you know, young self in my early 20s who was struggling. Ugh, for sure.
We were all struggling. It was, I don't want to say dark times, but not like what we're going through now with the pandemic, but like back then it was just, yeah, it's crazy just because I, even my own experiences, like when I was in middle school, I didn't think I was fat too, but I started to realize during like PE running around, I would be like lagging behind others and like activities. Mm-hmm. And even like when they had to make us do like a weight and like measure ourselves for our BMI, which the mm-hmm. BMI scale is a whole different ball game. It's not even correct, let alone racially.
Nonsense.
Yeah, racially surged because it's meant for the Caucasian perspective. So it just, it really fucks with your brain, and it breaks my heart that I went through all that, but I came out stronger than ever. And I hope like you did too, with like you creating a series, you doing acting debuts, creating writing alone. I just, seeing you is such an inspiration that most people fail to realize. And I hope you are getting that recognition now more than ever.
Oh, that means so much to hear. Thank you.
Of course,
thank you.
Of course.
I am very hopeful too for the future. I mean, this moment, this conversation that's happening in socially right now about body justice and fat liberation, I think is so inspirational and hopeful. And I'm hopeful for the younger generations to not go through the kinds of things that we did. And thank you. I mean, it means so much to hear that I'm inspiring in that way. That has been, again, the most meaningful part of creating this web series is hearing that.
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, we have to support people like us in order to see that type of change happen. And I wanted to know from your perspective, what do you think your industry can do to have more representation for plus size, curvy, fat people as a resource, as role models?
I mean, I would say hire us, and hire us in roles that aren't about being fat. You know, hire us just as leads in things. You know, somebody who I take a lot of inspiration from is Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. I can't even put into words how much I love her. For my acting showcase coming out of my training program, I used scenes from Bridesmaids because it had just
such a good movie.
Just come out. Such a good movie. But I take a lot of inspiration from Melissa McCarthy because she just took what was hers. She, you know, she definitely had to work within the framework of you know, fat tropes. Bridesmaids is a brilliant performance, but it's definitely like a clown character, right? But she now has put herself in films of all kinds of genres as the lead just because she can, you know?
Yeah.
So a spy thriller, that superhero movie she just put out on Netflix.
Oh yeah, I forgot the name of it. She was also in Heat with Sandra Bullock.
Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, a buddy cop comedy. I mean, she did that her own self. These are, you know, roles that she either created for herself or created in collaboration with Paul Feig or with her husband, you know. Yeah, I would say, like, especially even with the response that I've gotten from Big Girl, like, I hope that the entertainment industry starts to realize that people want to see themselves represented. I mean, we use the hashtag representation matters all the time because it does.
Yeah.
And people want to see themselves in film and television and in the media.
Yeah.
And portrayed in a positive light, and it, the focus of the character not being just the size of their body.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say, is they just need to hire us. Just hire us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was going to bring up some TV shows that you may have seen. I mean, you've already like talked about a few movies and stuff like that, but I know the Learning Channel did a show called Hot and Heavy. I don't know if you remember that show.
I did not watch it. I saw like an advert for it, and actually I have a tweet telling TLC to go F themselves, because I find it, I mean, I didn't watch it, but my impression was that it was not going to be particularly kind to the bigger people
on that
show. And
it wasn't. It really wasn't. I mean, they followed the storyline between like three couples, and then they used the word mixed weight couple, which I've never even heard of.
No.
I was like,
no, it,
what?
No, not today, Satan. This is not, no TLC.
Mm-mm. I understand TLC is the Learning Channel, but they must have learned that was a bad, bad representation of us. And I don't think, even like the men on that show were still very nasty to the woman, and they still aired it.
Ugh.
I'm glad the show got canceled. I'm pretty sure it got canceled, because like ratings were bad, the reviews were bad, critics destroyed it. So it was just like, I wanted to know your opinion on it, just from like TV show and like movie and industry perspective. Yeah
it was I mean, I didn't watch it, I didn't want to even pay it any mind, but I remember reading headlines about it, and that mixed weight couples thing. I mean, let's be honest, TLC as a channel anyway is incredibly exploitive, and you know, makes a lot of programming I think that's very offensive and unkind to its subjects. And yeah, it's just why. You know, come on.
And like,
there is nothing novel about, truly, like, big people, big women date other people of all different sizes.
Yeah.
Like, we have, I mean, again, it's, you know, perpetuating this narrative that, you know, fat people are loveless and sexless and sad. And that's just not the reality.
No.
That's not, you know, I date plenty. I've had all kinds of different relationships, like you know, so yeah, I find it really gross and unnecessary. And I just hope that as a society, we have moved beyond that and beyond that narrative.
Yeah.
You know,
and in your show, you obviously like, you really talk about relationships and how it can be a struggle. I think you show it from like three perspectives, one being the somewhat good guy, two being straight up just nasty, like the jerk, and then three, the fetishist, which I haven't experienced personally, but I know of people who have, and I'm glad it never happened to me, but it's horrible. I'm just like, they need to be upfront and honest, and I wanted to get your opinions on relationships while dating us and stuff like that. Like, should it be normalized more, or should it be like a different bracket almost? Like, what's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, I certainly think it should be normalized more. You know, it's funny, I did want to address how difficult dating can be. It's difficult for everybody, especially in New York City. This city is insane for dating. Everybody that I know has crazy dating stories about online dating. But I think as plus size women specifically, it can be more challenging, just because you get, you know, there are a lot of weirdos and jerks out there, and they think ultimately, like at the core of all of those examples, I think that these men think they can take advantage of us in some way.
Yeah.
Be it, you know, because we're big, we'll be easy. Or because we're big, we'll tolerate like them throwing around crazy fetishes, you know, without, or, you know, and not to kink shame. I mean, listen, I'm sex positive. Everybody, GGD, everybody that wants to do what they want to do, that's fine, but communicate about it ahead of time.
Yes.
And I think that there is this tendency with us being plus size, that, you know, we will put up with it because we should be quote unquote grateful that we're on a date, which is nonsense.
Yeah.
And it is more challenging as a plus size woman to meet a normal, but you just got to separate the wheat from the chaff, and it is a numbers game. But for the main love story too in the series, I wanted to, you know, it doesn't work out. Spoiler alert. He turns out to be a man child. I also wanted to address that, you know, I think that there's also an expectation that plus size women will stay maybe in an unhealthy situation or an unsatisfactory situation because we should be grateful that this person is in a relationship with us. Which is also nonsense, you know, so she dumps his ass. Like, yeah. I, you know, as bigger women, we should, or just as people, like, you know, we shouldn't tolerate, less than what we deserve and we want. That's the message that I wanted to get across. And there are wonderful people out there.
Yeah.
You know, there are. So, I think every man, every serious relationship that I have had too has been with a quote unquote straight sized dude. Like, I, you know, so yeah.
Love the podcast? Want to show your appreciation? Well, join our Patreon. Here's where you can support the mission to show how we are redefining what it means to be curvy, fat, and plus size. It's our stories that remind society we exist, we are seen, and we will use our voice to be heard. You can start donating as little as $5 a month as a supporter. Every donation makes a difference to keep up with the research, operations, and business costs, to expand the content from a podcast to a resource of reference, and finally, a reform. None of this would be possible without you. Visit patreon.com/expandthecurve to be a supporter. That's patreon.com/expandthecurve. Absolutely. I love that. I mean, you said it, you perfectly said what we were all thinking. We should have a normal relationship as any other person. It should be the accepted norms for us, for sure. And I wanted to talk to you about, like, is there any TV shows or current series that kind of like show plus size in a good light that you'd like to recommend to my audience?
Sure. Do you know, and I haven't watched it yet, but I really want to, is Rutherford Falls.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I feel like it's on, I think it's on either Peacock or Paramount Plus.
Okay.
And the lead is a plus size Native American woman.
Oh.
And apparently it's been recommended to me. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard that they don't even address the fact that she's plus size. Like, she just is.
Oh,
and
love
so
that.
That's revolutionary.
Yeah.
You know? Certainly Shrill, you know, who hasn't seen Shrill at this point? But that pool party scene, I cried and cried and cried.
Same. Me too. And I want to see more events like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? What else is fat positive in media right now? I mean, it was only one season, but mm-hmm. Dietland, you know, was fantastic.
I just finished it, and wow, oh my god. I'm a little bummed that they canceled it because of the finale and how well they're doing the justice about how men have treated us like absolute shit, and to have this extreme radical position, but at the same time have a character who's like doesn't want to go to the means of violence, but still wants to stand up, but also is fighting her own internalized fat phobia. It's just, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was very,
Joy
very
Nash
good.
Really nailed her character.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then another show that's a few years old. I mean, again, it's few and far between mm-hmm. in the media, right?
Yeah.
But there's a show that I just watched. It was recommended to me by another podcast host, actually.
Oh,
a podcast
awesome.
That I did a while ago. The girl who Abby from More Than Tracy Turnblad, which is a great show. Yes. If you haven't listened to it. And so this show is a British show. I love British television. The Brits know how to make some TV. And this is a few years old. And it was called My Mad Fat Diary. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Absolutely love that. It's on Hulu. Yes.
Yes. And it's definitely a tough watch. It was a little re-traumatizing for me to watch, like, from, you know, the feelings that you have about yourself when you're a teenager in a big body. But it was so triumphant and so truthful. And I think really, really revolutionary in the way that it portrayed what society can do to, you know, a young woman who's big and doesn't know how to cope. And I just thought it was a beautiful, beautiful show. It was really, really good. Villanelle got her start, I think, in that show. Yes. So there you go, you know.
I was going to say, that show really, like, improved all the actors to do, like, such great things over time. And I was like, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
But I do love absolutely. How Mad Fat Diary, like, carried that show. It was truly, like you said, it was traumatizing for me to watch it as well. But, like, it was a message that, like, I thought I was having this journey alone. But to know that they're airing this, other women feel this way. Other men feel this way. Other non-binary feel this way. And it was just, that message was perfect. Well said.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Oh my gosh. I have to go back and rewatch my Mad Fat Diary again.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely cried. There was a lot of crying and a lot of, like, oh God. But again, it was cathartic and reaffirming. And really beautifully done. The actors do such a good job. It's a great show. Great show.
Yeah. I was going to ask, you may have talked about it a little bit, but tell me about the three most influential people in your life and how they impacted you.
Oh my gosh. It's a big question. Three most influential people in my, like, people that I know personally.
You can have known personally, celebrities that you admire. I know you talked about Melissa McCarthy for sure. So stuff like that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, let's put Melissa in there. Okay. For sure. Truly, because seeing her, how well she did in Bridesmaids and the meteoric rise of her celebrity, really at a time when I was coming out of acting school and unsure of my place in the industry and feeling very self-conscious, it had an impact on me. She made me feel like, oh, I can actually do this, you know? So we'll say her. And then who else? I mean, influential people. So, I mean, I had so many great acting teachers that I don't know if I could pick just one. I mean,
if you want to just shout out the whole school, you're more than welcome
to. I mean, So the clown episode of my series, I found clowning in grad school, and clowning as an art form, I love so much. It's a way of celebrating your ridiculousness and your vulnerability and finding pleasure in your own ridiculousness. And my clown teacher, who I still study with, we, like, throughout the pandemic, she put together a Zoom clown group. And we meet like twice a month and clown together. Pretty soon we're going to be able to meet in person, which is going to be amazing. But anyway, her name is Jean Taylor, and she is a wonderful teacher. She teaches at the Barrow Group. Jean, for sure. There were a handful of teachers at the new school who were really lovely. Kathy Rossiter was my first year acting teacher. Casey Biggs, if anybody's a Star Trek fan, he was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And ooh. He was my Shakespeare teacher. And he actually took up for me when I was singled out by that stage combat teacher I was telling you about. It was really a rough experience, being marginalized by that teacher in front of my classmates. I felt awful. It was really, and Casey didn't tolerate it. He went to the dean of the school on my behalf and said, this is not okay. He let me leave class early the following week so that I could go have a meeting and complain to the dean myself. Like, he really took up for me in a way that you don't expect, you know, an acting teacher to. So I will always, always have love for Casey Biggs in my heart for that reason. I mean, he, I felt very out of place and very alone in that moment. And Casey had my back, as did Kathy Rossiter, actually. So the two of them. There were lots of teachers at the new school that were wonderful in different ways. And then, you know what? I'll tell you a story. I mean, I have a very supportive family. My papa, my grandpa, who's no longer with us, he died in 2012. He was such a wonderful human being. I've been thinking about him a lot lately because he passed away in September. And around this time of year, I'm always sort of thinking about him. And, you know, I was a child of the 90s. And I mean, that's another reason why my Mad Fat Diary resonated so much with me, because it was like my teenage years. I was, you know, an angry teenager. I was a little feminist, you know, I was chubby and pissed off and sort of a black sheep, I think, in my family. And there was this one night, and Papa just always had my back and really loved me, and I loved him a lot. And there was this one night, I'm from the South, and he was an old redneck man, and, you know, there was always a fire, a bonfire. 24/7, 365, Papa had a bonfire going on in the backyard. And I'd like gotten in a fight with, I don't know, one of my parents or something, and stormed out of the house. And Papa was outside by the fire and I was angry. And, you know, he asked me what was wrong. And I said, you know, no one understands me or something, you know. And he started doing this thing, like he looked like he was like writing in the air. And this was a farm out in Georgia. And so there was very little light pollution, so you could see the night sky really, you know, clearly. And he was like doing this thing. And I said, Papa, what are you doing? And he goes, baby, I'm writing it in the stars. One day you're going to be a famous actress. He had such an impact on me just as a young person. And yeah, so my papa, I would say, is the other.
Very supportive. Very, very supportive.
I love that. Yeah, yeah. He was a wonderful, wonderful dude.
Aww. Well, I'm so happy to know that your career is just booming, and I hope big things and opportunities come for you. Do you have any upcoming projects that you're working on that you'd like to give a taste or a little sneak peek about?
There is nothing that I can really give a sneak peek about. I am working on a new project right now, a new writing project is moving forward, but I can't say anything about it yet. Okay. But I am.
That's fine. I'm just happy to hear that there's something in the works for you, that this is not the only thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And is there is there anything that you'd like to shout out or promote?
Well, certainly Big Girl. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Big Girl Show, all one word, lowercase. You can find me on Instagram. I have a private Instagram that I'm a little choosy because, especially with Big Girl, I started to feel like I started to notice getting added by a lot of like suspects. So it's private, but if people wanted to find me, it's KS Scarborough on Instagram. And yeah, follow Big Girl. You can watch Big Girl on this amazing streaming platform called Seeka TV. So it's SEEKA.TV. There are no ads, no paywall. You don't have to subscribe. It's just free to watch. You go on the site and you can just watch the show. That's what I would shout out is go, if you haven't watched it yet, go find Big Girl and watch it.
Yes, like please watch.
5 very short episodes. Quick watch, and I hope everybody loves it.
you truly don't understand the admiration I have for you right now.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
This is Catherine Scarborough, everyone. She is the creator of Big Girl. And if you guys want to follow along with her, like I said, visit Big Girl Show. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this episode of Expand the Curve. Leave us a review and tell us what you think. We appreciate your support. You can keep up with the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Expand the Curve. If you want to contribute a donation to the podcast, just click on listener support on our Anchor.